This is an AMI podcast.
Hey, Dave Brown here. If you enjoy this podcast portion of our show, remember you can watch it live every day at 9 a.m. Eastern Time on AMI TV. Welcome back. It's Now with Dave Brown on AMI TV. I'm Dave Brown. It's the Friday, March 31st, 2023 edition of the show. Coming up in the second hour, Michael McNeely reviews the new movie Pinball, The Man Who Saved the Game. And Greg David looks ahead to AMI's inclusive stand-up comedy special, All Access Comedy. It's going to be a barrel of laugh riots with Greg David a little bit later in the hour. Brock Richardson is standing by, but I've got one story to share with you out of Ontario, and it's all about minimum wage. Ontario's minimum wage is set to rise to $16.55 an hour on October the 1st. It marks a 6.8% increase. From the current rate, Labour Minister Monty McNaughton says inflation has a lot to do with the significant increase.
To all workers out there, they know that every October they're going to receive a pay increase. This one obviously is larger than others because of inflation, but it is substantial and will benefit nearly 1 million workers, and they'll receive $2,200 extra.
It's going to be an incredible weekend in sports. Brock Richardson is here to chat about it. Brock, before we look ahead to the weekend, let's go back in time to some reactions on Major League Baseball's opening day. There were a couple doozy games that were played.
Yes, there were. The first one I'll start with as reaction is that 10-9 game for the Toronto Blue Jays yesterday, which was a four-hour game. Thank you, Pitch Clock. You did a lot of help yesterday with the timing of the game, but it was a wild one and really good to see both teams back and forth. This series is going to be good. What do you think about Adam Wainwright singing the national anthem, by the way? That came out of nowhere.
Adam Wainwright, of course, the pitcher for the St. Louis Cardinals. Yes. He's starting the season on the injured list, on injured reserve, coming out and singing the anthem. Hey, good for him. Keep him busy. The guy's getting paid, so you might as well have him do something. He should be selling popcorn in the stands or something. Earn those millions.
Yeah, it's funny because the broadcasters were reacting like no one knew. Like, nobody knew that pitcher Adam Wainwright was going to be singing the anthem. Did a nice job, had a bit of a country flair to it, and, you know, can't complain.
Hey, you know, you got to start the game somewhere. Yeah, Brock, that Blue Jays St. Louis Cardinals game, 10-9 final score, it was worth all 4 hours of the game, though. Like, imagine how long that game would have been without a pitch clock. But we're talking about leads and ebbs and flows. It's 3-1 Blue Jays. It's 5-5. It's 7-6 for the Cardinals. My goodness, my gracious, what a way to start the season. And George Springer picking up 5 hits yesterday. So if he can keep those soft tissue issues in check this year, he's going to be off and running with the way he's smacking the ball.
Agree, totally. It's just even the way he's finding the holes and finding, you know, he was just able to make contact and the ball found its places and he just kept doing well. And if he can stay healthy, as you mentioned, this will be a good thing. The other one that I'll mention, Dave, is the Yankees winning 5-0 yesterday. I have to be honest with you, pitcher for the New York Yankees, Gerrit Cole, in the first inning, I was a little like, oh dear, he walked the first batter. And then things kind of got a little shaky in the first inning. But then he just did nothing but throw strikes. Nothing but throw strikes. Like, it was just like, I'm going to strike you out. I'm going to strike you out. I'm going to strike you out. And then bottom of that inning, Aaron Judge walks up and says, hi, I'm here for the next 9 years. There's a home run for you. And he got it off and started very, very well. And enjoyed it. So
thank you for the hundreds of millions of dollars. Here's a home run for your troubles. Here's some lucky souvenir for a fan in the stands. Yeah, that was a good game to start things off. But there was also a couple really interesting games. The Boston Red Sox fell to the Baltimore Orioles 10-9, but Boston made a game of it by scoring 5 runs in the last 2 innings, which was interesting to watch the Orioles hang on for that one as they're looking to have a season where they start to move forward. The TSN game, the 7 o'clock game, between the White Sox and the Astros proved to be a really interesting game as well. And Brock, I got my Dave stink all over the San Diego Padres as they lost to the lowly Colorado Rockies 7-2 yesterday. Brock, you made reference to the pitch clock. The games were moving rapidly yesterday. Only two games all day went longer than the shortest game on opening day of last year. And of course, that Blue Jays game was so compelling. No one cares that it went 4 hours. The pitch clock clearly made the game faster yesterday.
Yeah, clearly. And you know what? I will take the compelling 4 hour game than the non-compelling 4 hour game. And I'm not just saying that as a Blue Jays supporter. I'm saying it as a sports supporter, and it's something that I like. But yeah, it just made things go a lot quicker, and I like the whole, you know, the pitcher has to make eye contact with the batter has to make eye contact with the pitcher at the 8 second mark, and here we go. And I just think that that's really really an interesting thing there, and it just speeds it up. I love it. I love the big bases. I love the run game. I love all that. The shift, God bless the no shift. Like, let's play baseball straight up the way it is. The thing I absolutely hated all the years I would watch baseball is seeing nobody on the left side of the infield and all the infielders on one side, and then the player would just bounce it into the shift. Like, let's play baseball straight up. I love it. So these new rules, I'm very happy with.
Brock, you've always got a fun stat for me. I was watching a little bit of the Cincinnati Reds game yesterday, who are just a lowly, lowly, pathetic team who are so, so cheap. Brock, who do you think the fourth highest paid player on the Cincinnati Reds is? You can pass on this, by the way. Don't feel obliged.
I'm going to pass. I'm going to let you throw this stat at me.
It's retired outfielder Ken Griffey Jr. is the fourth highest paid player of the Cincinnati Reds. He's been retired for well over a decade, but because of a deal that he did a settlement with them when he retired, he makes more than everybody on the team except three players. So that's not great.
Yeah, we'd have been here for an hour if I was to sit here and think about that one.
Would have taken us right through the heart out. Brock, let's take a look at the weekend look ahead. We've now talked about baseball. We will not talk about it again until after the NBA and NHL playoffs. Weekend look ahead. There's a lot of good stuff going on. You sent me a big long list this morning. You did not include WrestleMania, so I'm not going to be too mad at you about that, but I do want to mention WrestleMania. It's going to be on the WWE Network tomorrow night and Sunday night, and that's why I'm not going to be here on Monday morning. Brock, what are you looking ahead to this weekend? Maybe we break this down sport by sport. What are you looking for in the basketball world?
I'm looking forward for the Final Four. This is going to be good. As we talked about earlier in the week, all four of these teams are teams that you would not have expected to be there. Mm-hmm. This is going to be good for that purposes. The Toronto Raptors, we'll see what happens when they play the Philadelphia 76ers tonight. But yeah, the Final Four is the thing that I'm really looking forward to, and it all culminates, I believe, the finals on
Monday night. Monday night, 9:20 p.m. Eastern time is the tip off for that game. Not too excited about that over here. Brock, let's just run over who those four teams are. We have Florida Atlantic University, first time that team's ever been to the Final Four. The Miami Hurricanes, first time that team has ever been to the Final Four. The San Diego State Aztecs, first time they've ever been to the Final Four in the school's history. And the UConn Huskies, who've won four national championships in the last 24 years. They would be the first team since the UCLA Bruins to win five in 25. So we talk a lot about blue bloods in the college basketball world, the Kansases and the North Carolinas and the Dukes and the Arizonas and the UCLAs, but the real blue bloods are the UConn Huskies. And for that reason, Brock, I find myself rooting for the Huskies this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, I'm always one for the underdog. I think all four of these teams could be viewed as that. But I like UConn. I've watched a few of their games. I like the way they play, and I'm also rooting for them. But it will be a good game. The Miami UConn game is the one that I'm really looking forward to as being the one that's going to be the you know, let's see what happens here.
Miami player Jordan Miller last Sunday was the first player in 30 years to hit 100% of his shots during the game, both his shots from the floor and his free throws. Pretty impressive stuff for Mr. Perfect, Jordan Miller. That's the flip side, Brock. Because of where Florida Atlantic University is located and where the University of Miami are located, those schools are about, let's call it 100 kilometers from each other there in South Florida. It would be pretty interesting if both those teams win on Saturday to set up a final on Monday between two schools in Miami, one in Miami proper and one in Boca Raton. That would be quite a fun South Florida, all Florida final, but might not be the best for a television rating point of view. Mm-hmm. Okay, Brock, what about hockey?
Let's look at the Detroit Red Wings versus Winnipeg Jets.
Big game.
That's a big game. For both teams, really. To either stay alive or continue to hold the wild card spot down, as the Winnipeg Jets are doing right at this moment. That's a big game as well. Another big game over the weekend is just because of the implications it means for Calgary, but also just what it means, is the Calgary Flames versus Vancouver Canucks. You always like that Alberta rivalry.
Yeah, that's and tonight. That game's tonight, right? The Vancouver Calgary game.
It is.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. It is tonight as well. So yeah, lots of good games going on over the next couple of days, and of course you have Hockey Night in Canada, which has a lot of good games as well going on. With the Battle of Ontario, it doesn't mean as much for Ottawa, but it's still always good to see the Ottawa Senators and Toronto Maple Leafs hook up in the regular season.
Yeah, so there's actually something the Leafs have organized. They're taking over a couple train cars and taking the train up to Ottawa for that game. That's going to be pretty neat. They're going to be having quite the rolling party heading into the nation's capital for Leafs fans. So that'll be a fun one to watch on TV as well. Brock, let's not worry about the curling. You'll give Alex the full curling rundown on Monday. For now, I wish you a good weekend and enjoy some WrestleMania.
I will, and you have a good weekend as well, and we'll chat Tuesday.
Yes, sir. That's Brock Richardson. He's at the AMI Sports Desk. Alex Smythe is at the AMI Weather Desk.
Here is your AMI National Weather Report from Environment Canada. Starting off in Corner Brook, Newfoundland, where it's a mix of sun and clouds today. The high is +5, feeling like -10. In Charlottetown, PEI, it's a mix of sun and clouds with a chance of snow. There's also wind gusts up to 50 kilometers per hour. The high is +2, but the wind chill makes it feel like -16. In St. John, New Brunswick, it's a mix of sun and clouds with a chance of snow as well, but that will clear up later in the day. The high is +4, feeling like -14. In Quebec City, Quebec, it's a mix of sun and clouds today. A high of +3, a wind chill of -12. In Toronto, Ontario, it's cloudy with periods of rain beginning this morning. Then it'll be rain mixed in with possible snow as well. The high is set to be 7 degrees today. In Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario, it's snow changing to a mix of rain and snow later. There's going to be up to 5 centimeters set to fall today. The high is +4. The wind chill -9, and there is a winter storm watch in effect for the area. In Brandon, Manitoba, it's sunny with a high of -4, but feeling like -20 today. In Regina, Saskatchewan, it is a mix of sun and clouds, which will be clearing up in the afternoon. The high is -2, feeling like -18. In Lethbridge, Alberta, it's mainly sunny today. There are some strong winds with wind gusts up to 70 kilometers per hour. The high is 11 degrees, a feeling like -9 with that wind chill in the morning. In Red Deer, Alberta, it's foggy this morning, but that will kind of disappear as the morning goes on, and it will become mainly sunny in the afternoon. The high is +3 with the wind chill of -15, and there is a fog advisory in effect for the area. Up in Whitehorse, Yukon, it's a mix of sun and clouds with a chance of snow or possible rain today. The high is +4, feeling like -9. Over to Kelowna, BC, it is mainly cloudy. There are wind gusts up to 50 kilometers per hour today, and the high is 9 degrees. And finally, in Vancouver, BC, it's a day of heavy rain with up to 20 millimeters falling in some parts of the city. The high is 8 degrees. And that's your AMI National Weather Report from Environment Canada.
Thank you very much, Alex. Coming up after the break, Michael McNeely stops by with a movie review of Pinball, the man who saved the game. But first, Twitter is changing its verification policy. Mike Dubusky will tell you how in Tech Trends.
Recent changes to Twitter mean anyone who subscribes to Twitter Blue gets a blue checkmark next to their profile. And starting this weekend, the company says any existing blue checks that don't will have to pay up or lose it.
I think in some ways it is a status symbol.
TechCrunch's Amanda Silberling says the checks were originally intended to verify the authenticity of accounts and were assigned by Twitter to prominent celebrities, politicians, and journalists.
This is a person who the powers that be at Twitter decided is important.
Verifying anyone willing to pay a subscription fee, on the other hand, puts more responsibility on Twitter users, says Silberling.
Making sure you, like, click on people's accounts and try to suss out whether, is this real? Is this an account that someone's using solely to, like, troll people? That's going to become a lot more important.
With Tech Trends, I'm Mike Dubusky, ABC News.
Welcome back. It's Now with Dave Brown on AMI TV. A new film dropped this month that looks at the story and significance of professional pinball player Roger Sharp. The movie is called Pinball, The Man Who Saved the Game. Michael McNeely has a review of this one. Hey, good morning, Michael.
Good morning. I'm just curious if I'm going to flip any jokes about pinball to understand.
I don't have any lined up on my bumper just yet, but we'll see what we can do. Michael, why is Roger Sharp's story so important to the world of pinball?
It's because, like the title says, he did save pinball. First of all, he's obsessed with playing pinball. He loves pinball. Even to this day, he's still alive. And with us, he owns many pinball machines at home. And in the 1970s, what was happening was the mayor of New York City, Theodore LaGuardia, who the airport is named after, coincidentally, was trying to ban pinball. And we can talk more about why that ban was happening. But ultimately, Roger proved to the authorities that pinball was less of a gambling issue and more of an issue of skill and practice. So ultimately, the game was allowed to stay. And thankfully, we don't have this form of entertainment censored or prohibited anymore.
What metaphors did you find within the story?
Well, just like I mentioned, the game is one of chance. It's also a game of choices. When do you push the flipper? When do you decide to maybe even leave the game because you've had enough? Those are the choices that Roger faces in his personal life as well. He's dating someone who has a child, and as a result of dating a single mom, he is inheriting a lot of responsibility, and he needs to face the pressure of whether or not he can be a family man. Or if he needs to leave the relationship, how will he do so without harming the child? I did appreciate that aspect of the storyline. It was not an aspect that I expected watching a movie about playing pinball, but it's just as important.
The story, as you mentioned, takes place in the 1970s. What were some of the era details that caught your attention?
The ridiculous mustaches on display. I'm so happy that we outgrew the 70s. I don't know if I could stand the mustaches anymore. They're hard to lip read and food gets cut in them. This is also the era of disco. This is the era of sexual liberation. The fact that Roger is dating a single mom is pretty much the norm for now, but it wouldn't have been the norm in 1950. We also have, you know, the fluidity of gender expression. So Roger gets a job as a journalist in GQ magazine, And the interesting thing about GQ magazine is that it was actually started by a few gay people before I presume that it became more standardized as a hetero magazine. So those are all interesting period details. I'm told by my support person that the visuals are astounding and very true to the 1950s.
Mm. Let's talk about some of the actors involved. Michael Faist plays Roger Sharp. What were your thoughts on his performance and other stars in the movie?
Well, I really appreciated his performance. I think Michael Faist is from a theater background because he was also in Rust Side Story. He did a good job there and he did a good job here. I think he's just able to present the idea of what it's like to be someone living in the 1970s, someone who is awkward socially, someone who's passionate about pinball, just an all-around good person who has a passion and a hobby, and you can't help but sort of relate to that person who has a hobby and a passion that they're trying to share with you.
So what about your overall thoughts on the movie, Michael? Is it worth pumping some extra quarters into the machine?
Well, I think the movie is well worth it. I think it's a history lesson that we ought to be reminded ourselves of, that people can, you know, ban things that are actually perfectly fine. The banning by Mayor LaGuardia was just an excuse to get more votes. It was pessimistic. It was cynical. It had nothing to do with the issue or any issues at the time. So when you take a look at, you know, what's happening in Florida with the banning of the books, we're being told that it's not about the children, it's just about making political moves. That was what was happening with Mayor LaGuardia. And it's interesting to know that the pinball machines were being destroyed with the hammers. People were going around destroying them for no good reason. And we probably lost a lot of great history there. But not only that, the legs of the machines were then turned into police batons, which the movie says is a heavy-handed metaphor, if there is one. I think another thing to mention about this movie is very meta. So it often talks about making a movie about pinball, and it realizes that it's perhaps not the most interesting topic, but it does become interesting after you give it a chance. So I'm very happy that I gave it a chance.
Michael, I like that you identify that, because certainly when you're talking about pinball in the 1970s, arcades in the 1980s, home video games in the 1990s, new forms of music, it always feels like there's going to be an establishment pushback. And even understanding some of the political and privacy concerns around things like TikTok, you always seem to find this, right? There's all these cultural touchstones where the establishment says, there's something new, we don't understand it, we're scared, ban it.
Yes, no, I think you're absolutely right. And even here with the pinball, we see the generational divide. We see that Roger needs to play pinball in the courthouse. That's one of the best scenes in the movie. And it actually did happen. He shows you a picture of it happening as well. That he needs to play pinball to show the older generation that pinball is not that bad, that pinball is actually fun. It's because the older generation never even bothered to look at the pinball game, never even bothered to put a quarter in it. Just like you've seen at the TikTok public hearings, the people asking questions have never used TikTok, and it's evident based on the questions that they're asking.
Mm. Hey, Michael, overall, what's your final rating of the movie? I know you don't like giving things out of 10, but how many pinballs out of 10?
How many pinballs out of 10? I like to give it 8 out of 10, but I do think it would be one of my favorite films of the year, because it made me smile, it made me laugh. And, you know, because of my vision challenges, I haven't really been able to play pinball as much as I want to. But someday I hope I can play pinball with a big ball and I can see where it's going and do all those things that they enjoy.
All right, supersized pinball machine. Now we are talking. Hey, Michael, thank you for this. Have a great weekend.
No, and thank you. And this is just the beginning of our video games movies one, because just in case you didn't know, we have Tetris coming out. And then we have Super Mario. And so it's just a crazy time. We just finished Dungeons and Dragons as well.
Hey,
so,
don't forget The Last of Us. Michael, don't forget The Last of Us. The Last of Us was also based on a video game.
I was going to say that, but I was afraid that maybe you were afraid of mushrooms.
Depends on the mushroom. Michael, thank you for this.
See you soon.
That is Michael McNeely, entertainment critic, with a review of Pinball, The Man Who Saved the Game. The film is available on demand on Amazon or iTunes. Always fun to know where you can find these things. You don't need a subscription service for all this stuff. Sometimes you can just rent it. Sometimes that's the way to go. A couple less recurring credit card payments. This is Now with Dave Brown on AMI TV. It's Now with Dave Brown on AMI TV. Nobody wants to talk about WrestleMania with me. Nazreen doesn't, Ramya doesn't, and even Alex Smythe would rather talk about push notifications on his phone.
All right, Dave, maybe if it was 1998 again and I still knew all the wrestlers, it would be a different story, but yes, push notifications.
That's the bottom line because Alex Smythe says so.
Thank you. Quoting Stone Cold 316. So, yes, and when it comes to, you know, apps on your phone, it to me it seems like recently they have been bombarding my phone with notifications. And it's all sorts of different apps doing it. I've noticed it specifically with apps like Facebook recently, and I have not been on Facebook in a while, and yet I was still getting, like, push notifications at least three times a day. Just telling me about, like, friends who I have not engaged with for the better part of maybe a year, 2 years, and so I'm still getting these types of notifications and everything, and it's becoming a bit overwhelming. But then on the flip side, you know, there was the huge news that broke last night of which was the top story of the show today, that former President Donald Trump has been indicted in New York, and I did not even receive a push notification for that.
Same here.
So I'm starting to get this sense that's like, there's just so much being put forward on the phone that when there's actual real key news that's breaking, it's hard to filter it out. So I wanted to kind of open up the topic on push notifications and alerts to the round table. So Nisreen, let's start with you. Are there too many push notifications going around?
Oh, absolutely. I was complaining the other day about Facebook that I as you said, I have not opened Facebook since time. Okay. Facebook and Twitter. I just have them on my phone just for fun, I guess. But I don't even remember my password or anything. But I've been getting nonstop notifications.
I'm feeling a little old over here. Okay. Keep going.
You're feeling targeted, huh?
Yeah, uh-huh.
You're feeling targeted. Mm-hmm. I know. So I haven't opened them in such a long time yet. I still get crazy amount of notifications about who posted, who's friends with who, who commented on whose post. And it's really annoying to the point where I had to mute it. But I'm wondering if push notifications encourages you guys to open it more.
Ooh, that's a good question, Nazreen. So similar to you, I try to curate. I try to really pick which apps are allowed to give me a push notification. And really, if it's not a direct message or a text message or something that I'm directly tagged in, I don't want to be notified. I'm working hard to curate my phone on that front. But I find Twitter just keeps resetting my push notifications policy and sends me a bazillion useless push notifications a day. So you guys are identifying Facebook. Twitter's the one that's been making me go bonkers recently. Ramya, what's your relationship with push notifications these days?
I've by default turned everything off, and then from there turn on the specifics of what I need, and
oh,
I will
smart.
Go very, very specific, Dave. Like, I will only get banners from certain notifications or only the badges from other notifications. So, like, you know, if you look at the app icon, you'll see that you have unread messages or, you know, tags or posts or whatever, but it won't actually come into your notification center. So this topic is, you know, near and dear to my heart. I hate getting buzzes. Like, there's your phone, there's your watch, there's your AirPods if you have announcements on. All day, every day, there's the potential to be distracted 24/7. And I hate it. I really don't. And then if you're not getting notified, you're used to the idea of getting notified. So then you're constantly checking your phone. So anyways, it's a vicious cycle. And the only way that I felt that I could deal with it is by turning absolutely everything off, except, like you said, for direct messages on apps that people are trying to reach me via my phone number. And possibly everything else, I'm saying, if I don't go look into the app, then I just don't care enough. I don't need the notification.
Yeah, absolutely. That's such a good policy. Alex, how about you? How do you curate the push notifications you're getting? Obviously, your phone sort of prompted this conversation, so maybe not quite curated as much as you'd like.
Yeah, I thought that I was doing okay with it. You know, I turned off a lot of the notifications, but you know, Facebook's really been popping up recently, and it's like, well, I haven't been on it all that often, so that's odd. But the other one that's really driving me crazy is actually TSN.
Oh, and it's the worst.
And normally it's like, okay, you know, there's an event happening, fine, let me know about that. And it's like, oh, there's breaking news. But I get it every single week when AEW is on. Guess what? It's on every Thursday. Or Friday.
Wednesday.
I know.
Wednesday.
Or Wednesday. Well, clearly I'm not paying attention to it. But I get it every single week to tell me, hey, guess what? AEW's on. Dynamite's on. It's like, I know, but you don't. Is it worth the personal?
Dean Ambrose. John Moxley is fighting for the AEW title. Alex, we know you want to watch this wrestling on Wednesdays.
See, Dave, I had to feed into a bit of your wrestling craze. I know it's not WrestleMania, but okay. Still, you know, it's I get that. Anytime there's any Canadian tennis player that's playing in some sort of competition, there's a push notification.
First round of the Miami Open begins today.
Right? And so it's like, let me know when it's actually newsworthy. Are they in the quarterfinals, semifinals, finals? Fine. If it's a first round, I do not need to know this as a push notification. But then it's like, you know, then it's the actual analysis that of the notification that I do want. Things like news alerts and CBC and CTV or BBC. I want to know from those. But half the times they end up going silent. And it's like I said, with Donald Trump, I feel that should have been a push notification I did not receive.
Mm-hmm. Alex, I had the exact same experience. I didn't get the Trump indictment notification. I went to bed relatively early last night. I woke up this morning and I was like, what the heck? That seems like pretty big news. But yet my Uber Eats had given me 17 notifications being like, hey, fatso, don't you want this 40% off discount that we're offering you? Nazreen, what are the push notifications that you like to receive? What are the ones that give you joy?
Maybe actual text messages. For push notifications, I'm like you. I really don't like any of them. And Uber Eats, I ordered once in my entire life, and I cannot stop getting push notifications. So, but they're smart. They're really smart. When you mute everything, it's like a training cycle where they're like, when you actually check your notifications to see, okay, what news did I get? Why haven't I gotten anything? But I think it's just a very smart technique that they have planned.
Alex, Nazreen, thank you for this. Ramya, what notifications give you joy?
Just my text and my WhatsApp and my email. The things
people,
that matter to
when
me.
Humans, when people. Humans reach out to us, yes. When humans, not robots, reach out to us. Ramya, I'm always delighted when I get a notification that Kelly and Ramya hits the air weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern time. No. Weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern time on AMI TV. We should start doing that, though. What's coming up on the show today?
We're talking about Fido and Rogers doing a spam detection technique. Ooh. Using AI. Yes, and John Buehler is going to tell us more about that on our app update. That's another thing I can rant on forever, spam. And we also have spring gardening talk with gardener Susan Kearney. She's talking about bulbs and flowers that are coming out now, stretching out of their winter slumber. That's going to be fun. And the Audi Awards took place this Tuesday. It's becoming pretty big in the audiobook world. So Ryan Huey is going to highlight what happened.
Very good. Ramya, have a great day. We'll talk to you later.
Sounds good, Dave.
That's Ramya. I'm with the co-host of Kelly and Ramya, which comes your way 2 p.m. Eastern time on AMI TV and AMI Audio. Greg David comes your way next. He's got all the details on AMI's inclusive stand-up comedy special, All Access Comedy. This is Now with Dave Brown on AMI TV. Welcome back. It's Now with Dave Brown on AMI. Let's wrap up the week by putting a smile on our faces and getting some chuckles in our belly. AMI is partnering with the Halifax Comedy Festival to put on All Access Comedy. Greg David, AMI's communication specialist, is here with a few details on this one. Hey, good morning, Greg.
Good morning, Dave. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. Happy WrestleMania weekend. Greg, no one wants to talk about wrestling with me today. I'm very upset.
I heard you bemoaning that, and I would normally be happy to talk to you about wrestling, but I'm so out of the loop now with WrestleMania. I couldn't even tell you what the title match was. I've been caught up watching. I'm old school, so I've been watching all of the classic biographies that they're offering on A&E. Last weekend it was Charlotte Flair and Yokozuna. Like, it's just crazy to go back and see those old WWE and WWF stars.
Greg, interesting you mentioned that, and I promise we'll get to the All Access Comedy Festival in just a moment. When AMI sent me to Calgary a couple weeks ago for the AMI Connect event for By Hook or By Cook, that went super, super well, and I cannot wait for folks to get a chance to put their eyes and ears on that one from our live event. And big thank you to everybody who put that together and the live audience who came out to the Contemporary Art Museum in Calgary to check that out. On the Saturday night, I went out to a Cowboys casino in Calgary. Funny enough, that will not end up on my expense report that gets submitted to AMI. There is a bar inside the casino called Hitman's. It's an entirely Bret the Hitman Hart themed bar that he is a partner in that is just loaded with individual pictures and memorabilia from his basement and from his house. And on the screens, 24/7 classic wrestling matches on the screen. Oh. I was in heaven.
Oh, that is fantastic. I didn't know about the bar, but that's fantastic. Now there's yet another reason for me to visit Calgary.
Absolutely. Apparently, according to the servers, I don't know if they were telling me the truth or not, but apparently Brett comes in at least once a week and orders a grilled cheese sandwich and an old fashioned, which I also very much am happy with. Anyway, we'll move on to the All Access Comedy Festival. Nobody wants to hear about me and my childhood idols. Greg, this is a comedy show like no other. What makes it so significant?
Oh, there's several things. I mean, first of all, this is something that AMI has never done before. Being at a stand-up comedy show, we've partnered with Halifax Comedy Fest. So if you don't know, they're heavy hitters. Working with Just for Laughs and CBC on the regular. This is a big festival that takes place every spring in that great city. And what makes this one particularly unique is that we've got members of the disability community who are all stand-up comedians participating in this, which makes it obviously unique because of the lineup, everybody from the disability community, and again, something unique that we're offering on AMI for the very first time.
Yeah, I love the idea that we're starting to platform the arts directly rather than just talking about the significance of platforming arts. We're doing the work to platform it, which is wonderful. Greg, you mentioned a few of the comedians that are involved here. Who's hosting and who are some of the comedians who are going to be featured?
Yeah, so first, I just want to really preview and just say when and, cover the whens and wheres of this taping, because we want people that are listening and watching this show right now to go and get tickets. I'm going to give you more information on that. But right now, mark down in your calendar, Sunday, April the 30th at 3 p.m. Atlantic time, so 3 p.m. in Halifax, from the Spats Theater in Halifax. So those are the details right off the top, and I'll give you more details in a few minutes. But to answer your question, hosting this show is DJ Demers, who, if you're if you've been a supporter of AMI for several, going back a few years, you'll know that he hosted a show for us called the DJ Demers Show. Mm-hmm. But he's going to be the host of this, and he's a member of the Hard of Hearing community. And he's a big name, not only here in Canada, where he's Canadian, but he's been on America's Got Talent, Conan O'Brien 3 times. He's been on the Tonight Show. He's got tons of 1 hour specials. Really, really known not only in Canada but also worldwide. So he is the host. He is the quarterback of this All Access Comedy.
Greg, just want to make a quick offer here about DJ Demers. Of course, he's a friend of AMI. He's actually going to be in Toronto next week. He's doing a little residency from Tuesday. Bruce, did you say till Saturday or Sunday? Tuesday to Sunday at Absolute Comedy in Toronto. So DJ is staying busy, no doubt about it.
Yeah, and yeah, Bruce was telling you that before I came on about DJ. So yeah, I mean, head out if you're in the Toronto area, check him out in his residency, and then fly out to Halifax in April and check him out in our special.
Right, so who are some of these other comedians who are going to be rounding out the special? And then, yeah, we'll remind folks about tickets and the availability and the dates and times.
Yeah, absolutely. So Courtney Gilmore is a fantastic comic. She has a limb difference, and she was actually on a few episodes of Breaking Character on AMI TV late last year. She's Juno nominated. She's one of Canada's most unique voices and sought after comic talents. She's named by Now Magazine as one of the top 10 stage artists to watch.
Oh, wow.
She's been, she's a veteran of Just for Laughs. She's been involved in Just for Laughs since 2017. She's also got a stand-up album called Let Me Hold Your Baby. She has a limb difference. Did I mention that? So, you know, take that album title as you will. And then moving on, we've got Daryl Lennox, who is a member of the blind and partially sighted community. His latest album called Super Bloom came out in December 2021, and it went to number one on the comedy charts. He also was quoted, not only is he a stand-up comedian, but he's also a bit of a guru and likes to, talk about life in general. And one of his quotes made it to Seth Rogen's book called Your Book. So a bit of a cool reference there. Tanya Lee Davis, who is a little person, is going to be involved in this. She's been on a lot of British television shows despite being from Winnipeg. So looking forward to having her on board. Aaron Belisle, he's a former software engineer and mental health advocate who's turned comedian, and he is mute and has a very interesting way of doing his stand-up act. He does it through his phone. His phone does all of the talking for him.
I've seen that on YouTube a couple times. Really interesting work, a really interesting take on the genre.
He has exploded on social media, like you said, Dave. In particular, depending on your politics and how you feel about Joe Rogan, he was recently talked about on the Joe Rogan podcast and how great of a stand-up comedian he is and how unique his delivery is. So really, really, he's really become a huge hit in the last several months. And then the final stand-up comedian that we've got on board is Ryan LaChance, who is a member of the cerebral palsy community. He's a wheelchair user, and he's got 25 years of stage experience and originally from the West Coast. So just top to bottom, all of these stand-up comedians are fantastic and really looking forward to checking them out.
Greg, circle back here because you mentioned the event's taking place on April 30th. That's the live taping at 3 p.m. Atlantic time. But there's an opportunity for people to get their hands on some tickets. So what's that process going to be like if folks actually want to attend this in person?
Yeah, so we have some really exciting news. The tickets went on sale yesterday, and you can get them if you go to HalifaxComedyFest.ca. So again, that's Halifax Comedy Fest, FEST.ca. Tickets went on sale at the Spats Theater yesterday. It's an 800-seat theater, and we're close to selling out half of the seats already.
Nice.
So that's why it was really important for me to hop on with you today, because the tickets are going very, very quickly. What's unique about the Spats Theater and how we've made it unique for members of the disability community is that there's going to be they've taken out some seats to allow for more wheelchair seating available in the front row. We're also going to have American Sign Language interpreters on site, as well as CART real-time captioning technology. Like I said, the increased wheelchair accessible seating options, and also all of the stand-up comedians are going through integrated described video training ahead of this so that they can take time out of their set if they do something physically that can't be seen by the members of the blind and partially sighted community. They can describe what's going on
cool.
stage as well. So this, Dave, I mean, this is so exciting because this really is a truly inclusive special that we're putting on for everybody.
Greg, that address one more time if folks do want to get their hands on tickets. Like you said, they're moving fast for this April 30th taping in Halifax at 3 p.m. Atlantic time at the Spats Theater. That address one more time.
Yes, absolutely. HalifaxComedyFest.ca. And if you forget that or you want to get more details, email info@ami.ca. You'll be getting one of the friendly members of the Marcom department that can help you out with any questions, help you out with when you go to get tickets, it says buy tickets. The tickets are free. I think I forgot to say that off the top. I apologize. These tickets are free. So when it says buy tickets, they're free. Go ahead. The site itself is accessible to screen readers. You shouldn't have any problems. But if you do, send me an email, info@ami.ca. halifaxcomedyfest.ca. But that website again, halifaxcomedyfest.ca.
It's true that every time I email info@ami.ca, I always get a friendly response as opposed to reaching out to you guys directly. Greg, what about an actual television broadcast? Is there going to be a date set for this?
Yeah, so it's going to be sometime next year. We don't have it nailed down right yet, but it will be next year. And obviously, you know, I'll give you and your audience plenty of time, plenty of heads up on when we do have a broadcast date for it.
Love it. Greg, we've only got about 30 seconds left here, but stand-up comedy to me has to be one of the most difficult forms of entertainment to perform. Where do you rank it in terms of difficulty?
Oh yeah, I think so for sure. You know, you might have some, you know, friends say to you, you know, you should do stand-up comedy because you're so funny. And then the number of people that I've, you know, heard from that went up and did like an open mic night and were horrible. You know, it is a lot of work. And to be honest with you, I love going to the shows, but I'm always embarrassed I'm going to get picked on.
Yeah, me too. Greg, have a great weekend.
You too, thanks.
That's Greg David, AMI Communication Specialist. That's all the time for the show this week. Until Monday, I'm Dave Brown reminding you to play safe, play fair, but don't forget to have some fun. As we do at the end of every week, let's thank the people who put this show together.
Host, Dave Brown. Co-host, producer, Alex Smythe. Sports reporter, Brock Richardson. Contributors, Rami Amuthan, Nazreen Abdel-Majid. Senior show producer, Andrika Delanerol. Visual producer, Bruce Beclarion. Producers, Paul Daniel, Marianne Dion Jones. Production assistant, Kingsley Juco. Director, Anastasia Spalding Stenhouse. Control room operators, Daniel Panamondo, Eliza Rocco, Parker Oxtoby. Manager of operations, Kyle Harper. Manager of live production, Paula Deneen. Director of content development, Kara Nye. Vice President of Programming, John Melville. President and CEO, David Arrington. Give us your feedback, 1-866-509-4545. Copyright 2023, Accessible Media, Inc.
An AMI original production.
Hey, Dave Brown here. If you enjoy this podcast portion of our show, remember you can watch it live every day at 9 a.m. Eastern Time on AMI TV.
Join us weekly for The Pulse with host Joita Gupta, who brings us closer to issues impacting the disability community across Canada. Watch The Pulse on YouTube or listen wherever you download your AMI podcasts.